talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, October. August? Ooh, doesn't feel like August. October the 6th, 2023. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Pastor Craig for the Exchange Club, as we do each and every Friday. And we do have a top 10 list today. And they're both, the one we have this afternoon is a good category, and the one we have tonight is a good category. So don't forget to tune in tonight. Carrington's back from vacation. Matt and Sean will be along for the ride. It'll be kind of a chilly night here tonight. I like those dark, chilly nights. People stay home, and they listen. That's a little different than summer.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And this is really the first chilly night we've had.
It really is. I think, we had some in late August, but nothing like tonight.
Yeah.
So let's start off with the current event. It's the big news of the week. Pastor Craig called in earlier in the week and talked about it a little bit. It is historic. First time ever a Speaker of the House has been removed in their term and removed by their own party nonetheless. Kevin McCarthy was removed by 6 votes by his party because it's hard to go through the whole thing here. But essentially, the government was going to shut down last Saturday. Kevin McCarthy went to the Democrats, made a deal. Now, a Speaker of the House cannot make a deal on his own. The majority of Republicans did vote for the deal with 3 hours left to go. So that cheesed off these 6, well, it's actually 8 people I found out that really don't care for him in the Republican Party. But 6 did him in. So essentially, he knew this was trouble. I'm sure the threats were already coming after him on Saturday night, so he goes on the Sunday morning talk shows and trashes the Democrats, which didn't make them very happy. Says it was all their fault, and they held him up, and that's why he had to do what he had to do. So then on Monday, few members of his own party, but Gates in particular, went on and decided to announce that he was going to introduce legislation to remove Kevin McCarthy, which led to Kevin McCarthy going to the Democrats because he knew he only needed 6 Democrats of the 200-some to vote for him to keep him in power. Well, when he went to them, they said, you trashed us on Sunday. Why would we keep you in? So 6 votes sent Kevin McCarthy packing. And what I don't like about that news story, as it's been portrayed, it's like the whole Republican Party turned on him. 8 people. 8 people did. That's 210 still voted for him. So that's how we got to where we are. He says he's not going to run again for that position, obviously. And interestingly enough, and boy, I'll tell you, this gets better and better for us as a local story. Our representative, Jim Jordan, apparently wants that seat. He's turned in his resume. He's now been endorsed by former President Trump for that seat. And I guess the big question is now, will he have the votes? So let's start way back. What did you make of Kevin McCarthy keeping the government open on Saturday?
I don't think he should have done it. So, but anyway, all they did is buy themselves 40 how many days?
November 17th.
Bought them another 45 days, and we're going to go through this whole thing all over again in November, and there's too many times that we've gone through this thing. But I did want to make one little comment in there. One of the things that Kevin McCarthy has said, don't know if it's true or not, but actually I believe it to be true, that he wasn't worried when the vote was being taken because he says he had had private conversations with Nancy Pelosi and that Nancy had assured him that he would be keeping his seat, that she had his back, that she would make sure he kept his seat. Now, whether or not that's true or not, I don't know, but I find that rather interesting.
Now, she didn't vote for him.
No, as a matter of fact, she didn't.
No. So that'd be interesting
to
find out.
She didn't vote at all.
Right. Well, then they took her office away.
Yeah.
Which I...
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, it's schoolyard politics, you know. Well, you do that, so I'm going to do this. And you did that, well, I'm going to do that. You didn't vote for it, yeah, I'm going to take your office away. So,
I mean, aren't we getting a little silly?
I mean, granted, it wasn't her office. It was an extra office that she'd had. But she'd had it for years. So make of it what you want.
Yeah. In any event, Matt, what'd you make of all this?
I mean, I think not shutting down the government is probably better than shutting down the government. I guess I don't really know what kind of deal there was made, but,
it's really all coming down to funding Ukraine.
Yes.
This group of eight people, most Republicans apparently do want to fund Ukraine, or at least are okay to do it. There's only about 80, most of the Senate is for it. 88 votes in the Senate, I think?
Yeah. They're losing support for Ukraine as time goes on, and I know we'll get to the Jim Jordan and all that in a minute. But while he voted to, you know, Jim Jordan voted to keep Kevin as Speaker of the House, Jim Jordan was one of the 90s that voted against the bills Saturday night.
Well, and I think what that did for me was give me a good litmus test of where these parties actually are. Because essentially, the whole Kevin McCarthy speaker issue came down to eight people, how they were going to vote to keep him or not. The vote on the bill to extend it, the budget, that was very bipartisan in the House and the Senate. I think nine people voted against it in the Senate. It's a very small number.
Yeah.
12 something. Yeah, some people didn't vote because Feinstein had passed away.
Right. Nine voted against.
Nine voted against. So less than 10 people in the Senate, which is 48 Republicans.
Right. It's 18%.
Yeah. So in the House, I think there were under 100 votes against it.
90 votes against it.
So everybody, the majority of this country was okay with that bill. Yet six people caused this man to lose his job because six people weren't happy with this bill. So what do you do?
I mean, it seems that the Democrats didn't come help him either. So, like, if they were also happy, they could have helped him.
I think had he not trashed him on Sunday, I think they would have.
Yeah.
I don't think they all would have, but I think that he could have got six of them.
He would have got if he got a dozen votes. And actually, he would have only needed about five votes.
Was it to try to protect himself within his party?
Yes.
Or what was the goal?
Oh, well, I'm not in his brain, but the next morning to come out and say the Democrats held this all up when, again, your party has to vote on this, and they did, and it passed both the House and the Senate.
Interesting.
But it's all over Ukraine money, and I don't really get why that is becoming...
It's two things. It's Ukraine money and southern border.
Right. But if the Republicans as a whole are not against this... See, here's where I think Jim Jordan has a problem. We'll get to him here. But let's start with just the whole idea of Jim Jordan being a speaker. He certainly is... more well-known than Steve Scalise, who is the other guy who they think probably wants this. I think he's turned in the paperwork, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Resume?
Yeah, the two of them have put their name in officially.
Right.
And nobody had really heard of Steve Scalise. He's been in Congress almost as long as Jim Jordan. Nobody had heard of his Steve Scalise until he took a bullet at the baseball game.
Right. I think that...
But he is majority leader.
Right.
Of the Republican caucus. He's the Republican majority leader. You got Speaker of the House, you got the Republican majority leader, and then you got the Republican whip. And Steve Scalise is basically number two person in the House behind the Speaker of the House. So he has a big position, but he hasn't been well known.
Well, interestingly enough, I think because of the way Jim Jordan voted on the Ukraine money and the border issue, voting no on that budget. Clearly, no Democrats are going to vote with him, and I really don't think he has the majority of his party. I would doubt.
No, I think Steve Scalise has more support within the Republican Party than Jim Jordan does.
So what happens?
They'll take a series of votes where neither one of them will get enough votes to have a majority. So we could see, you know, if neither steps out and throws their support behind the other, I mean, we could see more than 15 votes. You know, that's what Kevin McCarthy had. It took 15 votes to get him elected.
And then he had to make some deals.
Yeah, and we could see a situation where that could be nothing, you know?
Well, the interesting thing about it is if those eight people do not vote for Scalise, then he won't get the job either.
Right. That's what
unless the Democrats say he's better than Jordan,
right,
we'll put him in.
Right. Basically, you could have the Democrats deciding on whether it's Steve Scalise or it's Jim Jordan if a group of them wants to throw their support, because neither one of them is going to get enough votes on their own.
So
I think that could happen.
So it sounds like the Democrats are the true decision factor here.
Oddly enough, being the minority party here, yeah. They are.
But they're going to be voting for a Republican in either case.
Yeah.
But they could be the deciding on which one gets it.
But interestingly enough, with what happened to Kevin McCarthy, don't you think they'll get involved now, seeing what happened there, that this guy went on and trashed him? And essentially, I believe he went on and trashed them because he had made the deal with those eight people that one person could call for a vote for his resignation, which is not what is supposed to happen, that he made deals with people.
Whoa. When you say that's not what's supposed to happen, that's what the new rules were written this year, so that
right,
any one member of the House could call for a vote to vacate.
But had not been prior to Kevin McCarthy.
No.
Right.
That hadn't been a rule. But it was a rule now. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't, knowing what the rules are and how we got to where we are, I don't think that the Democrats, knowing that they don't have the majority to put a Democrat in,
right,
are going to, I would think they would play this smart. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. And see, that's the other thing that's going to complicate this. Whoever is the next Speaker of the House is going to want to have that rule changed so that you can't have just a lone member bring up, you know.
And I think they will get it changed.
And I think they'll be able to get it changed.
Because I think clearly all the Democrats will vote for it, and I think you can get eight Republicans to vote for it. Because you know what I saw, interestingly enough, and I'm not saying all or the majority of, but I saw a lot of Republican Congress people very unhappy with Kevin McCarthy being taken out. And I don't think it was because he was taken out. I think it was the way it was done and how it came to be.
I think it was the way it was done and the fact that it was done when we're right in the middle of trying to get this budget taken care of. Because now what's happened is, you know, every day we're one day closer to that November deadline. But nothing can get done until they elect a new Speaker of the House. So basically, you've got this 45 or however many day window to get a budget deal done, but nothing can be done on it until there is a Speaker.
So who are the Republicans? Is it the 200 and whatever the number is, 210, 15, that did vote for the bill, did vote to keep Kevin McCarthy in office, or is it these eight people?
I think that remains to be seen.
But eight people.
See, that there's talk amongst the Republicans about at the very least having Matt Gaetz censured, at the most having Matt Gaetz expelled
by the Republicans.
Yeah, by the Republicans. They're the ones talking about this. So it's going to be, I mean, a lot of things are going to happen in the next week or two, and who knows?
Before we get to Jim Jordan on the whole, why would these eight people do this? Because I think they are smart enough to look at the landscape and know the things that we're talking about right now, that the majority of their colleagues do not necessarily agree with them on who the speaker should be, on what the spending bill should be, and also that there are a lot of Democrats in the House who could manipulate the next Speaker of the House, manipulate who goes in there, which would be more favorable to them, even than a Kevin McCarthy was.
Their those eight people are part of a larger group, the Freedom Caucus, of which Jim Jordan is a member. And I don't know how many, but I believe it's about 50 or 60 members in the Freedom Caucus. It may actually even be larger than that. It may be close to that 90 number. But I think that this, the small group of eight, they did what they did because the Freedom Caucus in general wants a much more conservative house. They want the, you know, to get the spending under control. They really want drastic changes in the way the Republicans and the Democrats have operated, the way the House has operated. So that's what they've been fighting for. And I think that Matt Gaetz underestimated the number of support that he had for wanting to oust Kevin McCarthy. I think they underestimated the number of support there was for, you know, not letting this budget deal go through. And well, I think that's what happened.
Well, what's fascinating to me is you certainly can vote any way you want. I mean, that's what we want you to do. If you're you're elected to Congress, you got to vote for what you believe in. But we always talk about bipartisanness and going across the aisle, and it's not all you. You've got to give and take. Clearly, eight people are not in the majority of anything from what the votes we've seen. Now, again, they can vote any way they like, but strategically, it seems to me like they're putting themselves in a very bad position.
Well, I think they just totally underestimated how many of their colleagues were with them.
So what would have been the point of calling for his removal then if they didn't think they had the support to begin with?
No, I think they thought they had much more support. I think they thought they had more support when I think they thought that that they could get on a vote to vacate, they could have gotten 70 of those 90 people who voted against the budget deal, or 50 of those 90 who voted against
how
the budget deal.
How many was it? None, wasn't it? Did any? Because it was six who voted to get rid of him.
It was eight who voted to get rid of him.
But two...
And all eight of them voted against that budget deal.
Right, but the eight voted with the Democrats to remove him.
Right.
So how many Republicans who weren't part of the eight voted to get rid of McCarthy?
No... Only eight Republicans voted to get rid of McCarthy.
Right, but I'm saying, so how? That's then, what I'm saying. No Republicans outside of the eight voted to get rid of McCarthy.
Right, but 90 Republicans voted against the budget
the bill.
Deal.
Right. Oh, I get what you're saying.
So that's why I think they thought in their little group, because hey, 90 of us voted against the budget deal. We can get 50, 60, 70 to vote against McCarthy.
And they got zero.
Other than, yeah, right.
Right.
They, of the 82 who voted against it, that didn't go along with the McCarthy deal. Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think they totally underestimated. I think they thought that they could get 50 or 60 or 70 of those 90 to vote against McCarthy.
Usually you talk to somebody, though. I'm not saying you can talk to everybody, but at least one person.
I have a feeling that they may have been misled, or they maybe didn't get a definite answer, a definite commitment to yes or no.
Well, they announced that legislation to remove him very quickly.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about it Sunday, and
right.
We had a budget Saturday night.
I don't think they really scoped that out. I don't know how you could.
I don't know, but I think that Matt Gaetz, because he was the guy that was in kind of leading the whole thing, I think when he looked at the vote Saturday night and saw that there were 90 Republicans against the budget deal, he probably assumed that he would have a vast majority of them vote to oust Kevin McCarthy. I mean, he may not have even taken a straw poll amongst those 90 people. He may have assumed a Jim Jordan who voted against the budget deal would vote to oust McCarthy. I don't know, but that's my guess, is he underestimated the support that he had.
Even lost, you know, Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Who's a member of the Freedom Caucus. What do you make of that, Matt?
I don't know. That's a lot of stuff going on there. It seems like, yeah. I mean, maybe they were already planning on getting rid of McCarthy.
Matt Gaetz was. I mean, he's just been waiting for this opportunity.
I mean, because I don't know how fast the legislation came out to remove him, but
I think had he not passed the budget, I think he'd still be there.
If they had not passed that budget on Saturday night and they were working on it this week, you know, government shutting down, he wouldn't have gotten voted out. But I also know that it's a very personal thing, Matt Gaetz versus Kevin McCarthy, that goes way back to when they were doing the original vote, that sooner or later this was going to come up.
But why is it, why is the budget, coming up with a budget, stopgap for 45 days, why is that Kevin McCarthy's fault? If it was only his deal and only his doing.
Because the reason that it was his fault is because he was too willing to not work out a deal in the Republican Party, and he came up with a deal that the Democrats would go for, and he went with that. So you had people that in the Republican Party that felt slighted. And I'm not saying whether that was right or wrong. I'm just saying.
But
that,
under 100.
Yeah, you had people that felt they got slighted, and he cut a deal. And there's actually a thing in the rules where when you're the majority of party on something like this budget deal, you're not allowed to go to the minority party in order to get a majority. So they were claiming that he violated one of the speaker rules. Now, I don't know how that rule's written. I don't know if it really applies, but that's what they're saying. He violated a House rule.
Now, Jim Jordan, does he have any chance? What do you think of Jim Jordan, Matt?
Honestly, I don't know much about Jim Jordan.
He's our congressman. He's been well-known in the last few years on the national stage.
I know his name, but other than that, couldn't have told you much about him.
Well, it's, as you said, Pastor, on Wednesday when you were on, you felt he wouldn't want this position.
I really felt he wouldn't, and I'll tell you the reason why. When back in, February, when they were trying to elect McCarthy, his name was put up, and some of those early votes, his name was put up, and he absolutely had his name removed from one of the votes because he said, I absolutely do not want it. Now, the reason given is he wanted instead to be on the Judiciary Committee. He had an agenda for the Judiciary Committee, in which he's followed that. And they're in the thick of what they're doing. And based on that, I've thought, that he would not want to be the Speaker of the House because he's in the thick of what they're doing. But obviously, I was wrong.
And here he is.
Here he is.
Is it a power thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speakers of the House are very well known, mm-hmm. and maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
The Speaker of the House constitutionally has, a lot of power. He basically runs the House. He, all legislation goes through him. I mean, it goes to different committees and it works its way up, but he has final say on what bills come up for a vote and what bills don't come up for a vote. I mean, if he doesn't want to bring a bill up for a vote, he can bury it and it'll never see the light of day. So, and also, the Speaker of the House is second in line behind the Vice President in, to the presidency. In the case of a death, it goes to the vice president. In case of a death or whatever, then the Speaker of the House. So it's a very powerful position. There is not a position equal in the Senate. There's not a person in the Senate that has the power that a Speaker of the House has. So it is a very powerful thing.
Isn't it ultimately a problem that Jim Jordan seems to be divisive within his own party? I mean, because I don't think there's a group of people in his own party who don't seem to like him. And I think as time goes on, that's going to be a problem, because I think they feel that he's going to cut no deals, and that will reflect badly on the party in power, which is the Republicans in Congress.
You know, my answer to that is, look at Kevin McCarthy. You know, he was divisive in his own party. I mean, go back to the original votes. You know, there were a lot of people that didn't want him. And, you know, he had to work really hard, and he had to cut a lot of deals. And one of the deals he had to cut was a deal that cost him his job. And the fact that, you know, you can, you know, one person can bring a call to vacate. So, yeah, Jim Jordan is divisive within the party, but really, that's kind of the way it has always been. I mean, Newt Gingrich, when he was Speaker of the House, there were a lot of people, you know, in the Republican Party that didn't like Newt.
Well, it's true, but I just think in this particular case, having the first Speaker removed in the history of the United States, that nobody is going to set themselves up for that again.
Right.
And that's why I say, yes, Kevin McCarthy was divisive in his own party, but I don't think somebody who's divisive in their own party right now is going to make those deals, because they saw what just happened.
Right. Yeah.
So ultimately,
wouldn't it make more sense to put somebody in who's overall popular with the party anyways?
Well, they've got to want to do it.
You got to have somebody that wants to do it, and you got to have somebody that, you know, would be popular amongst the party.
Isn't it ultimately, though, a problem that
let's face it, there are people in there that have been talking about Donald Trump, you know, right, having him being Speaker of the House.
Which, now, you know, we may eat these words, but that would never happen. Again, a divisive person in his own party, there are more than eight people who would vote against him in his own party, and you're not going to get a Democrat to vote for him.
No.
So that's just, you know.
But, you know, I mean, but they've talked about it as a possibility. But here, it ain't going to happen.
But here isn't the ultimate problem. That what these eight people have done now is they've taken out a Jim Jordan, they've taken out a Donald Trump, they've taken out any of the eight that would want to do it, and they've basically put it in the Democrats' hands, because at any point the Democrats now, as long as they got more than eight people together, could elect the Speaker of the House.
Well, I don't know. You say they've taken out Jim Jordan. I don't know. Because all eight of those people would vote for Jim Jordan.
I think the eight would, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think the other 200 some would.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think he'd probably get about 150. I really do.
Maybe.
He's pretty popular. But, you know, somebody like Stephen Scalise, he's pretty popular too, and he would probably get the majority of those eight, and he would get a majority. I think the only thing that's going to, if Jim Jordan was the only one who had filed to be Speaker of the House, I think he would get elected. If Stephen Scalise was the only one who'd filed for Speaker of the House, I think he could get elected. But the problem is you've got two who are popular, but yet have enemies within the party.
You know, I don't know. It's a weird world now. I think there's right now there's a big divide between the majority of people in the House who are Republican and those eight people. And I think getting that group to agree on anybody is going to be a problem. And as long as that group doesn't agree and the Democrats stay in a uniform vote, nobody's getting in.
Right.
So the Democrats can hold this up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so they basically gave the Democrats power to hold up
the
next speaker, and they've also given them power to elect the next speaker, because I do believe that Democrats will vote for somebody. I believe some Democrats will vote for the next Speaker of the House, because they're going to look at the choices, and they're going to say, boy, that's going to be a lot better for us. And I think they will also help repeal the vote. One person brings the legislation.
Well, and I'll tell you right now, the Democrats would support Steve Scalise before they would support
Jordan. Oh, absolutely.
Where is Steve Scalise from?
Louisiana.
Plus, what if, you know, hypothetically speaking, while the Republicans seem to be in this little bit of turmoil here, what if a Democrat who is appealing to six Republicans, not the Freedom Caucus, but just six maybe middle-of-the-line Republicans, comes along?
Won't happen.
I don't know.
I'll tell you why it won't happen. because just like when the Democrats voted in lockstep 100% to oust Kevin McCarthy, you aren't going to get a Republican to vote for a Democrat for the Speaker of the House.
But what if they hold him up? What if if this 8 and the other 200 do not get together and can't elect anybody? And it seems as if those 8 are not going to vote for anybody they don't like.
Well, they did get Kevin McCarthy elected. So
with
you know, but he had to make some deals. So I'm confident that they can work it out and they will get somebody elected. But I think a major issue will be one of the two who's running is going to have to drop out.
Before we part on this issue, is the next Republican who gets this going to go along with this this special circumstance of rules?
No.
Well,
no.
Okay, so based on that, now are the 8 going to have to go along with it and say we're not going to have that power?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to go along with it.
So basically, the 8 are going to have to eat it here.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, they set the agenda with Kevin McCarthy, but in the end, they're going to end up eating it.
Yeah, because they hurt themselves. I mean, those 8 members are marked, and you know there's going to be some payback because of it.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons Jim Jordan would never get in at this point is because I think that Republican group that did vote to keep Kevin McCarthy, there's enough people in there that are looking at these eight people right now saying, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to put anybody you like in there.
Yeah.
So that becomes a problem.
Yep.
Matt, this is government.
At its finest.
Yep. Moving along like a fine oiled machine.
That's right.
The finest.
I think it'd be interesting to have somebody come in who's not in the job
now. I said the other morning, and I still think it's possible that it may end up being a name that just comes out of left field, whether it's a member of the House or not.
I mean, who would that 8 people vote for? Who would the Democrats go along with? You know,
The name Lee Zeldin's been floated.
That's interesting. Whatever became of Paul Ryan?
Oh, he would never make it. Oh, no.
You don't think with his own party, it's too...
Oh, no. You think the 8 were riled up against Kevin McCarthy?
Well, I think the 8, but I think the Democrats might just stick it to him.
There'd be a whole lot more that would... No, it would never happen with Paul Ryan.
What about Newt Gingrich? Is he free? Get Newt back.
You know, I think Newt could... I think he could probably do it.
There you go. He's free. Why not bring him back in?
That's right.
Roll him back in. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I know how we can eliminate a lot of this problem with the budget.
How's that?
Is before the budget, the government actually shuts down, maybe a month or so before, if there's no agreement on the budget, all the representatives and the House and Senate all lose their paycheck until a budget gets done.
Well, you'd see it pass a lot quicker.
Right, it'd pass a lot quicker. They're going to make it suffer for the rest of the country. You know, people's going to suffer. Well, they should get the taste of the suffering first.
Well, people used to, at least you could get 20 people to agree. And you know what, as I say again, a lot of people did agree on Saturday night. If you look at the votes, a lot of Republicans voted for that 45-day extension. So I don't know that it is going to be all that hard to make a deal, to be honest with you. I think this, as Pastor said, I think the 8 people might have made a strategic mistake here, and the next speaker, who likely will be a Republican, is going to get in there, probably with the support of some Democrats. And because of that, they're going to make that deal, and the vote's going to be very similar to what it was on Saturday night, and that's going to pass the House very easy, and it's going to pass the Senate very easy.
And they might have more problems with the new person than they did with McCarthy.
It's possible, depending on who it is.
He just barely got in there. I mean, nobody wanted him in there. I think it's just, you know, people that never wanted him in there is trying to get him out, but I get tired of listening to this budget situation. There's got to be a better way to do it. And, you know, instead of the government shutting down and we start, you know, certain people get affected, and then as it goes on, more people get affected. Well, you know, the people are supposed to do their job in the first place. I have to feel the effect first.
Well, it's always an interesting situation. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Any parting words on this subject, Matt?
I got to do some more looking into Congress. There's a whole lot of names there that I've never heard of before.
It's an interesting bunch. What do you think, Pastor?
And while you're at it, look up Johnny Carson.
Yeah, do look up Johnny Carson. Don't lose that name. My goodness gracious. Well, we better get our top 10 list in here. I think we've got a drum roll going. Well, I thought we had a drum roll going. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. There it is. I thought it was going. Now, this is the perfect category for this afternoon. Top 10 things to do at a tailgate with Buckeye Guy.
All right.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. Top 10 things to do at a tailgate with Buckeye Guy from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Number 10, take a selfie at the Woody Hayes statue. Got to do that. Got to do that. It's a must. Number 9, take out a small loan to pay for parking. There is a problem there. Absolutely. Number 8, wear a Buckeye necklace. Got to do that. Number 7, ask random people, what's a terrapin? It's a Maryland plant.
The Maryland Terrapins.
I tell you, I'm totally out of this thing tomorrow. I think Maryland's going to... The Terrapins are going to win.
Yes.
Yeah. I should read these things before we...
Why don't you start over on that line item and just read it
Do it again.
Like you know what a terrapin is.
Number 7, ask random people, what's a terrapin?
All right.
Now it sounds good. We'll just edit that other thing out there for the rebroadcast. Number 6, go into the press box and make a surprise play call. I could do that. There's the who? Terrapin? What are they doing? That'd be the call. Number 5, go to St. John Arena and listen to the band. Got to do that. That's a big deal. Number 4, don't sing Hang On Snoopy.
Snoopy.
Got to avoid that. Don't say Snoopy. Sloopy. Save your voice. You'll never be louder than Buckeye Guy. He is unbelievable. There's no doubt about that. Number 2, schedule Brutus for an interview. Well, he's very big. Doesn't say a whole lot.
That'd be cool.
But he's very big. And the number 1 thing to do to get ready for a tailgate with Buckeye Guy, O-H-I-O. There you go. That's the list. Pretty good list.
I agree. Very nice.
Old Buckeye Guy at a tailgate party. My goodness, does it get any more exciting than that? And tonight's list is very... I don't want to give it away, but tonight's a very good list.
Oh, give us a hint.
It's a personal list about somebody on the show.
Is that person here today or not?
I can't. That would give it away, wouldn't it? It's a personalized list for somebody on the show. I will say that.
Okay.
Should be very interesting. So that'll be the top 10 list tonight. We thank Bob Welsh in Columbus, Ohio for those lists. I was talking to Matt earlier. I don't know if you heard this, but I was watching a show yesterday, and the conversation was, a new book is out, Are People Happy? And so the author of this book went around the country asking people, what would it take to make you happy? And what they found out was people didn't have an answer. They didn't know what made them happy. What do you think of that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I would think some people would know what it would take to make them happy, but I'm not surprised that people don't know, because it's like when you're happy, you know you're happy. And when people aren't happy, they know they aren't happy, but they usually don't seem to know why they're not happy.
Isn't it? How much false happiness is out there? People think they're happy, but they're not.
Well, happiness is, it's situational. You know, people, when they go to a football game and they have a great time, that makes them happy. You know, they go fishing or they go on vacation. That makes them happy.
They have a cold. They're unhappy.
Yeah, it's situational. So you're always going to be in a state of happiness and unhappiness and happiness and unhappiness because it's situational.
But don't you have to be happy as a person in general to be happy in any situation? If you're ultimately just not happy, can any situation change your life?
That all depends. If you are, you used a word earlier, Matt, If you are content in life, if you have a purpose in life, then yeah, you can be a happy person and be, you know, happy all the time or happy most of the time. But if you don't have a purpose, you're just flailing around, what am I doing in life? You're not going to be happy.
Right, but that's not situational. Again, if you're not happy on your own, have right. a purpose, then because nobody else is going to make you happy.
Right.
No other thing is going to make
right.
you happy.
Because it's persons or things that make you happy. If you're content in life, you have purpose in life, then actually what you have is joy. And there's a difference between happiness and joy.
What do you think, Matt?
I think that happiness is more of like a mindset thing than like a thing you have to go like.
First of all, nobody's saying that people are happy all the time. I want to qualify that. We're not talking about happy 24/7 because things happen.
Have you seen Buckeye Guy?
You know, I've seen him down. When they lost to Michigan last year, he was down.
Good point. Good
he was down.
Good point.
I think it's more of a mindset thing, more so than like asking somebody what makes them happy. That I don't think they know because it's not necessarily a what. It's more of like a mindset.
But you couldn't come up with something.
I mean, there are things that make you temporarily happy, but that's more so just like entertainment than happiness.
Well, that's situational, but I'm saying, do you think you're happy?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
I mean, like I said earlier, like I'm content. There's nothing, like my life has been pretty good up to this point. I have no reason to not be happy.
But why has it been good? Some people are not. Some people's life is not good.
I mean, I don't know. I have both my parents. I got a brother, sister, grandparents. I love my family I love my family. I got the radio. I love doing the radio.
You're welcome.
like just that kind of thing.
Yeah, sometimes you just leave an opening and you drive it right in. That's all you do. No, but that's very interesting because that you just answered the question that you couldn't answer. That's the answer. What makes you happy? That's it. Those things aren't really situational. They're not based on somebody else or any of that. You found out what you like to do, and you found out that you like having a loving family around you. That's not. That's what makes you happy.
He's not looking for happiness in money. He's not looking for happiness in a person. He's not looking for happiness in a job. It's his all the things in life.
You chose.
Right.
And by the way, we do talk a lot about relationships on this show, and I got asked this the other day because people said they like hearing it, but I want to describe why this has become a thing here recently, because we definitely have talked more about it than ever before. Number one, it's heavy sometimes to do current events all the time.
It is.
And on Friday night, which is primarily where we talk about relationships and things of that nature, and I think she would agree with this, Carrington does not keep up with anything. So we would not hear from her at all on Friday night if we did current events. So that's why we've went into the Taylor Swift, Jason Aldean world and the relationship conversation. Also, it is for this conversation that relationships are choices. Family is not a choice. Now, you cannot be around your family if you want, but it's not a choice. You're born into a family. You're adopted into a family. When it comes to a profession, you choose that. That is really not based on somebody. If you get fired somewhere, you can go someplace else and try to get in that profession someplace else. The reason relationships are fascinating is that's the one person or persons you choose in your life that is strictly your choice. But it is also the person you end up spending probably the most time around. So they make your happiness or your misery. And that's why that's a fascinating, for lack of a better term, relationship in your life, because that's the one you choose. Now, you can excommunicate family, and you can say this person feels like my cousin, but that's the one that is, when you're married, when you're dating somebody, you spend more time around them than you spend around anybody else. That's the one decision that can ultimately make or break you. And I think it's interesting. Yeah.
I would say yes.
So that's why we talk a lot about it. So, Pastor, now Matt has told. Now, can you come up with a solid, this is why I'm happy? Or are you happy?
Oh, yeah, I'm a happy person.
Now, do you know your reasons?
Sure. I know my reasons because I know what my purpose in life is. I know that there's something bigger than me, and it's God, and I know what my purpose is. So, you know, I've had a lot of bad stuff happen in my life. I've shared some of it with you, and but I still can be content, and I can have joy in those bad times. I mean, you know, I have a lot of bad stuff that's happened to me.
You know what?
I wasn't unhappy.
But you know what's interesting? I always say the three things you should do in the morning. What's your purpose? Believe in something higher than yourself. It doesn't all start and stop with you. And love something or someone unconditionally, even if it's not reciprocated. And if you can do those three things, I think ultimately you'll be a happy person because they're not based on anything else. Go ahead, caller.
You know, Scott, there's a lot of times that you don't spend more time with your wife or girlfriend. You spend more time with people at work.
You do. That can happen, but
when you got a wife that's working a different shift than you, a lot of times you can go through the week and hardly see each other.
But I think the problem is ultimately people who work with you, that's out of your control for the most part. I mean, you might like 90% of the people who work with you and dislike 10%. And that's why when you go home, it's more important to have somebody there who you like, who you can, you know, commiserate with.
But, you know, you get buddies with somebody at work, and then, you know, when you got Saturday off, you know, you want to go golfing with your buddy, and your wife gets mad because she wants you to spend time with her.
Well, there it comes back to the point. You choose that person, so you better make sure. That's why don't be phony with them. Don't be phony and really weigh it out. Weigh it out. Don't make a bad decision.
Right.
Yep.
Well, a lot of the young people, you know, they think they're going to be spending as much time with somebody, you know, with their wife when they get older. You know, they don't realize you two go to work and, you know, let's see what it's like and have a kid that you know, keeps you up at night and how much sleep you're going to get.
It certainly is the truth.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling in. And we've run out of time. What an interesting discussion it was today.
It was.
Yeah. Pastor Craig, Matt Morgan, thank you for being here today, each and every Friday, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And tonight, we'll be back. Matt, Sean, Carrington, myself, big top 10 list about somebody tonight on that particular program. That'll be interesting. For this Friday, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Adam the Computer Guy, providing on-site and remote-based technical support, computer troubleshooting, and network setup for homes and businesses. Website pctech.biz or adamthecomputerguy.com.